And then we're going to continue with our studies. I've been taking on the theme of love. The title of it has been Love, the Most Excellent Way. And the scripture we've been going through is 1 Corinthians chapter 13. You know, but a verse immediately before that chapter, the last verse of chapter 12, says this: earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. That's where I've got the title from the series from, The More Excellent Way. And immediately after that, Paul goes into chapter 13 and some great exhortations on love. It would be good to reread that again at some stage. I'm not going to take the time tonight to go through the chapter again, but you know, it's a great chapter, and good to just read it through and refresh yourself. If you can't read, you know, listen to it on a CD or a tape, because it's a great chapter. And it starts off, you know, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not love, I've become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I've got the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. It says, though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profits me nothing. You know, without love, we are nothing. We're talking about the love of God. We're talking about this sort of so-called love that the world has. But this is the love of God. Without God's love, we are nothing. You know, nothing works for us. Nothing functions as it should do. And there's nothing more important in the life of a Christian. I've said this many times over the 3 weeks. Than love. That we develop in the love of God. You know, and then last time we was looking at this, we looked at the nature of love, and we saw that what it says there from verses 4, 5, 6, and 7. You know, one of the things that was noted and we remarked on last time was that, you know, love is enduring. In other words, it's for the long haul. It's not something we don't have love just for a few hours for somebody and then we say, well, we don't love you no more. You know, love, if we really love someone, we love them, doesn't matter what they've done, doesn't matter how mean and nasty they are, we still love them. You know, you look at those of you that have children, you look at your children, the children don't always do, especially when they're growing up, do what you want them to do. But you don't stop loving them because they make a mistake. You don't stop loving them because they do something that you've told them not to do. Yeah, you might correct them and tell them often, but you still love them. You know, love is for the long haul. It has staying power. And we see that at least 4 or 5 times in those few verses. In verse 4 it says, love suffers long. In other words, it's patient. It's consistent and constant and remains. Verse 7 tells us that love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. You know, love is there for the long haul, for the duration. But we want to move on tonight to verse 8, because this is something really tremendous. And verse 8 opens up and says these 3 words, and this is what we're going to look at tonight. Love never fails.
Amen.
Love never fails. I just want you to listen up. I took some time today and just went through some scriptures, different translations of the Bible, just to see what it said. Just listen to some of these. These are really good. They all talk about love never failing. The New English Bible says this: love will never come to an end. The New Living Translation says this: love will last forever.
Amen.
The New Century says love never ends. One of the really modern ones, The Message, puts it like this, says, love never dies. One of my favorite translations, and I quote from it often as you know, is the Amplified Bible, and says this: love never fades out or becomes obsolete. I think that's good. The good news, love is eternal. An older translation, the Moffat translation, puts this: love never disappears. And I really like this one. J.B. Phillips, he says this: love is the one thing that still stands when all else has fallen. That's good, isn't it? Love is the one thing that still stands when all else has fallen.
Amen.
And one more. The Barclay translation says, it says love never fades out. And then there's a marginal note to that, and it says this. It says, love's flower petals never fall. The petals never fall from it, from love. You know what flowers are like when they're getting old, and you know all the petals fall off them and they begin to wilt, but love never drops its petals. It always remains. You know, love never comes to an end. It never dies, it lasts forever. You know, that's really what we're talking about with this statement here. Love never fails. You know, Paul in this chapter in verse 8, he says, whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. Remember, he's just finished teaching on the gifts of the Holy Spirit in chapter 12. You know, so he's linking this with what he was talking previously. He's told people to earnestly desire the best gifts. In chapter 14, he says that we should pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, especially that of prophecy. And here he says, prophecies, they're going to fail. Not that they're not going to come to pass, but there's going to be a time when there'll be no more prophecies that come to an end. There's going to be a time when tongues will no longer be needed. Knowledge, well, that's going to vanish away because, you know, that'll come to an end as well. But love never fails.
Amen.
Love remains. Love will outlast them all.
Thank you, Lord.
So how can we just wrap up this? Love never fails. It never ends. It never ceases. It never fades. It never becomes inefficient. You know, we can count on love. Why can we count on love? Well, the scripture tells us God is love.
Amen.
When we're talking about love, we're talking about God. So when we say love never fails, we say, really what we're saying is God never fails. And that's something that we can take to the bank. It's like a blank check. You know, where love's concerned, it or he will never fail. God will never fail. You know, God speaking to the prophet Jeremiah, and you might hear this quoted, well, quite frequently, in Jeremiah 31 verse 3, he says this: the Lord has appeared of old to me, saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Really, just showing his love is everlasting, it's eternal, it's never going to fail or come to an end. Because his love is everlasting. I have loved you with an everlasting love.
Hallelujah.
The same prophet in the book of Lamentations, I'll just quickly run through these scriptures. Lamentations 3 verse 22. This is a great one. It says, through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not, or his love fails not, does not fail. Then it goes on, verse 23, it says, they are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Now love never changes, because God never changes. Malachi 3 tells us that. I am the Lord, I do not change. Hebrews 13, verse 8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change, he's the same.
Amen.
Because God is the same and God remains, God is constant, then love, because God is love, love must be the same. You know, love is constant, it never changes. Now the problem we have when we talk about love is our understanding of what love is. Because love, perhaps we can turn to the book of Romans. Chapter 5. And just going to read verse 5 here, because Romans 5 tells us a little bit about love. First of all, it tells us in verse 8, and it's not from scripture in the gospel meeting, that God demonstrates his own love towards us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. But verse 5, just a little bit before that, says this. It says, now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Let's just read that again. Hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. You know, we've got to notice something it says in that scripture. It says the love of God is poured out in our hearts. God doesn't pour his love into our mind. It's not into our emotions. It's into our heart.
Amen.
That means love is not a feeling. It's not something that we feel in our head or we get emotional about. You know, feelings change. You know feelings change. You know, you can wake up in the morning and not feel like getting out of bed. Then you suddenly realize you've got to get up and go to work, and then your feelings change. Or you don't want to get out of bed in the morning, and the wife kicks you out because she says, you've got to go and earn some money. But you know, if you feel happy one minute and sad the next. You know, feelings change with the weather. You know, they change constantly. But the love of God doesn't change.
Amen.
It doesn't fade. So it's not, love is not a feeling then. You know, love is something in our heart. You know, there's a scripture, and I'll just touch on it because this shows us, this helps explain what, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 7 says this, we walk by faith, not by sight. You know, our Christian walk is one of faith. We don't go by what we feel or see. Now that's easier said than done. You know, many people, we look at the things around, and it sort of channels the way we think sometimes because of our situation we're in, the things that are going on around us. You know, when we see the world in such a state it is, you know, are we going to be able to cope? But we're not supposed to walk by the things we see or feel. We're supposed to walk by trusting God, believing God. That's it. We walk by faith, not by sight. You know, the things which we see, the last verse of chapter 4 tells us this, chapter 4 verse 18, says the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. You know, things that we can see, things that we can feel, like our feelings, they change, they're temporary. And that means, if they're temporary, that means they don't last forever. In other words, they're going to change. So things that we can see are going to change. But things we can't see are eternal. They last forever. You know, so love, and love lasts forever. Love is something we can't see. It's not a feeling. It's Well, God is love, isn't he?
Amen.
If our love, particularly for one another, because that's what the scripture says, and we'll get onto that in a minute, that verse, the commandment to love one, and we've already seen it in previous studies, but if our love for someone fluctuates or goes up and down like the waves of a sea, or one minute we're hot and the next minute we're cold towards them, then I would challenge whether we actually love, whether it is love. It might just be a desire we have. Because love, if our love for someone's going to fluctuate, it's going to go, you know, we love them more when they're doing good, we don't love them so much when they're bad, or, you know, they're not doing what we want them to do, then that's not really love. Because love is constant, love remains. You know, it's a desire, and even though it might be a strong desire that we have, it can still change. I don't know whether you know of this man in the Bible. I don't think I've ever heard it preached. But in the second book of Samuel, chapter 13, you see a lovely illustration of how love or how desires can change. In 2 Samuel 13, there's a man, one of David's sons. His name is Amnon. And Amnon had a sister called Tamar. It's David's daughter, Tamar. Now the Bible says in 2 Samuel 13 verse 1, it says, after this, Absalom, the son of David, had a lovely sister, whose name was Tamar. And Amnon, the son of David, loved her. Amnon was so distressed over his sister Tamar that he became sick. For she was a virgin, and it was improper for Amnon to do anything to her. You know, Amnon loved his sister, but this was more than brotherly love. You know, he was smitten by his sister. He loved her so much that we use the term lovesick. You know, he got lovesick for her. And it became so bad that it was an obsession for him. And it says it was improper for Amnon to do anything to her or about it, because they were brother and sister. But this got so bad that eventually he got together with a friend, and he conspired and he pretended that he'd be ill, and his friend would go to King David and request that his sister come and cook for him, look after him. And, you know, because they were so good at the deception, King David agreed that, okay, he let Tamar go to the house to cook for his son Amnon. Well, it happened while he was there. She cooked, she prepared a meal and things and cakes, and she took it to him, and he said, look, he says, I'm basically too ill to go, you know, bring it into the bedroom. And then he asked everyone to leave, and what actually only ended up raping his sister. That's what it says in 2 Samuel 13 there. But then it says in verse 15, because after he'd done that, then his attitude towards her changed. Then it says he hated her. But verse 15 says that Amnon hated her exceedingly, so that the hatred with which he hated her was greater than the love with which he loved her. Now if he really loved the girl, he would never have done that to her. It was really just a desire that he had for his sister. You know, what we've got to be careful is that we don't live our lives by our desires. Because desires can lead, not always, you know, some good desires that we have, we've got a desire for God, but some of our desires can lead us to do what the scripture says, and that's tells us not to do, and that's covet. We see something we want, and then we covet that, and then we're into sin. Because the scripture says, thou shalt not covet. You know, covet is something where we do anything to get what somebody else has got. And that's based upon desire. It's living our lives by desire, or making decisions based on our desires or on how we feel. And it's a very dangerous thing to do. You know, the best way for us to live is in love. And that's why we're looking at this series, Love is the Most Excellent Way. You know, the love way is the best way. We've already said God is love. And another scripture tells us that we should imitate God and copy Him, do what He wants us to do, or we'd be transformed into His likeness. And the best way for us to do that is to love one another, because that's the commandment that Jesus gave us in John 13. We read this a couple of weeks, or whenever it was, a few weeks back, but John 13, 34 says this, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." The best way for us to be like Jesus, or to exemplify Him, is to love one another. Because that's the command He gave us to do. Amen. This is the new commandment, that we love one another with the same type of love that Jesus has for us. Now that's, we love one another, but we're told to love one another with the same type of love that Jesus has for us. And when we looked at that, we looked at His love for us a few weeks back. We saw there's, His love was unconditional love. There was no strings attached with God. You know, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Well, we read it in Romans, didn't we? He says that God has shown us how much He loved us, sending Jesus to be our Saviour while we were still sinners. You know, so the new commandment, and the one that will, the best way for us to live, to be like Jesus, is to live in love. Or the way love Jesus loved, the way God loved. People will say, well, that's impossible. Well, if it was impossible, God wouldn't have told us to do it. God's not going to tell us to do something that we cannot do. So if He's told us to do it, it must be possible for us to live that way. In actual fact, there's so many scriptures I want to turn up tonight, but I won't be too long. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. This is the Apostle Paul writing. And he says in this scripture, verses 12 and 13, it says, "May the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all, just as we do to you." So here Paul says, you know, I've prayed a prayer, you know, may the Lord make you increase and abound in your love to one another. In other words, God wants us to increase in our love for one another. God wants us to grow in that love. God wants us to develop in that love. And there's a reason for it. Goes on in verse 13. "So that He may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all His saints." So there's a reason why God wants us to grow in love and to increase in love. It's so that our hearts will be found to be blameless. Remember? What God is doing is teaching us, showing us the more excellent way. We increase in our love for one another, and He wants to establish our hearts blameless in holiness. And love is the key to that. So when Jesus comes, we're talking about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all His saints, you know, we'll be blameless. It doesn't not say in the scripture, we looked at it when we were doing our studies on Revelation, that Jesus, God's going to present to Jesus a glorious church without spot and wrinkle, blameless in the sight of God. You know, we're not going to not going to be any fault in us. You know, God is working on us. He's preparing us for that time. And he said the best way for us to grow like that is to increase in our love for one another. Or increase in our love that we show to each other. Or we show it as Jesus loved us. You know, it's copying what God is like. And that's what the word Christian means, really. You know, we use the word Christian all the time, but it means to, or like Christ. And that's what we're meant to be. We're meant to be like Jesus. If we call ourselves Christians, we're meant to be like Him.
Amen.
We're disciples following the Master. You know, what we see in the Master as disciples, we want to be like. That should always be one of our goals in our walk with God, to be more like Jesus every day. You know, we grow in that, we develop in it, and here God tells us the best way to do it is through love. You know, if we're going to grow into what God wants us to be, we need to live, or we need to walk in love. You know, love is the key. There's just a few more scriptures I want to go to tonight. And remember, we're talking about love never fails. You know, God is love and He never fails.
Amen.
You know, Jesus speaking to His disciples in the book of Matthew. Matthew 24. And it's verse 12. Now he's talking about the end times and what's going to take place in the end. But it's something we should be aware of. Verse 12 says this: "And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold." Because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Now we've said love never fails. Love never comes to an end. You know, love never dies out. It never ceases. But it is possible that our love can grow cold. You know, love itself never dies and grows cold, but we can grow cold where love's concerned. You know, here Jesus talking about, look, if we yield to sin and lawlessness, or we keep giving in to sin and lawlessness, that's going to prevent us from developing in love. And that will cause our love to grow cold. Because lawlessness will abound. Now this is talking about the end times, when Antichrist is around and on the scene. And you know, as we studied through Revelation all those months, or the year that we took on Revelation, we saw that a lot of things went from bad to worse because Antichrist was sort of the thrust behind all the evil and things that were going on. You know, lawlessness was abounding. And even then, even when, you know, the Lord had taken the church out, when the people were preaching, those that came to know the Lord, there were still those, we saw it, even after the 1,000-year reign, still those that would not follow Jesus. Would not give their lives to Him. And that was after 1,000 years of peace and righteousness. You know, so even though lawlessness was abandoned, the love of many was growing cold. You know, and that's a warning to us. That if we yield to sin, we yield to lawlessness, that can cause our love to grow colder. And if our love grows cold in our love, then we're not reaching the target that God wants us to reach, which is to be more like Him. You know, I say, you know, the best way for us to be like Him is to love. Since we've touched on the end times, let's go to the book of Revelation. Because there's And this was one of the very first lessons we did on Revelation, in Revelation chapter 2. And you'll remember this, we looked at the seven letters to the seven churches. And in Revelation 2, we have the first of these letters is written to the angel of the church in Ephesus. And in Revelation 2 verse 4 it says this. This is Jesus speaking. He says, "Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you left your first love." You know, the Ephesians had left their first love. Or in other words, they'd allowed their love to grow cold. And they were being urged, and in verse 5 it says, "Remember from where you've fallen, repent, and do the first works. Or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent." You know, God was look, he says, "I want you to repent, I want you to come back, I want you to rekindle that love that you had. You know, stir it up. You know, don't let your love grow cold. You know, stir it up, develop in it, nurture it." You know, when we fail, if we fail to develop in love and our love starts to grow cold, this will make us, the Bible word is carnal, but it will make us more worldly, is perhaps a good way of putting it. We'll be unhappy, we're immature in our walk with God. And we can soon find ourselves acting like children. Yeah. You know what children are like when, you know, somebody says, "No, that's mine, give it to me." And we can get like that as grown-up Christians. You know, once if we're out of love, "Oh, that's not fair, you know, he gets all that, God always seems to be blessing him." We start ranting and raving and sort of throwing a temper tantrum. And that's not love, as we've seen in previous weeks. We find ourselves acting like that, a bit of a childish way, because we've let our love to grow cold. If you just go back a couple of pages to the book of Jude. Now, there's only one chapter in Jude. And we're going to read verses 20 and 21. And this here says this. It says, "But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God,
amen,
looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." You know, here the instruction is to keep ourselves in the love of God.
Amen.
Now, developing in our faith is good and right and proper. That's what the scripture says, building yourselves up on your most holy faith. Developing and growing in the anointing is good and right and proper, and we should do it. You know, developing in the principles of God's word, you know, reading the script, that's good, that's right, we're told to study, to show ourselves, to prove that we must do all those things, but not without the love of God, because the love of God is our motivator. You know, very often you need what we call motivation to start doing work. You know, I've got a lot of things to do around the house and I just find I can't get motivated to do them. Sometimes I've got a lot of things at work that I need to do and I can't get motivated to do them. You know, if you haven't got the motivation, you don't do what you should do. And if you haven't got love, which is our motivator, we won't bother so much about developing in our faith. We won't bother so much about, you know, the principles of God's word. We won't worry about the anointed. We won't worry about, you know, doing good to others. And all these things fall off. Love is our motivator. You know, we must have love. Keep yourselves in the love of God, the writer Jude writes. Keep yourselves in love. Nothing works without it. You know, and finally, the final thought. You know, love never fails. You know, that's why we should keep ourselves in it. If there's one scripture we must cover tonight, to bring this subject of never failing love to an end, is that love conquers all. Love never fails, but love conquers everything. You'll always be a winner when you choose to go the way of love. How do I know that? Because the Bible says so, and we're going to go there. Romans chapter 8. A very well-known verse. Very well-known chapter. You know, love reaches beyond human capabilities. Love transcends human understanding. We read that scripture read to us tonight, that the peace of God which passes all understanding shall guard our hearts and minds. But love transcends, it goes beyond our human understanding. We don't understand some of the things, but when we're in love, you know, we don't need to understand, we just need to act in love. When we live in love, things begin to happen. I think we touched on this a few weeks back. In Ephesians 3:19 it says, talking about love, talking about us growing in love, and then it says in Ephesians 3:20 it says that now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or even think. You know, according to the power that works in us. You know, these things happen according to the power that's working in us. It's the power of love. So when we live in love, things begin to happen. God begins to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. You know, live in love, you'll find your family members get saved. Because they'll see the love of God in action. You start walking and loving the way Jesus loves, things will start happening in your life.
Amen.
And you won't be able to explain it, because it goes beyond our human understanding. But they just happen, because we're living the most excellent way. Living in love. Now, Romans 8, the last few verses of this chapter, tremendous verses. This is how you know that we're winners, when we walk in love. Romans 8 verse 35 says this: who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, yet for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. And verse 37 says this: yet in all these things, we're more than conquerors through him who loved us.
Amen.
Now what's the things he's talking about? He's talking about the things we read in verse 35. Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or even, you know, being threatened with the sword, near death. That we're more than conquerors in all these things. Why? Well, it's the love of God. It's love, the most excellent way. Then he says, I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen.
Nothing can overcome love or separate us from love. Nothing can stop us from developing and growing in love, because love never fails.
Amen.
It's the most excellent way. Now, that really brings to an end what we're looking at there, love never fails. Now, God willing, next week we're going to look at perfected love. We're going to be just running on through that scripture in 1 Corinthians 13. And it goes on talking about how we can perfect love. So that's, God willing, what we'd look at next week. But until then, just go with this thought. Love never fails. It never comes to an end. Now, I think I touched on it a couple of weeks back. You know, we used to sing that song as children in Sunday school in the Good News Club. You know, God's love is like a circle. A circle big around, and when you see or when you draw a circle, no ending can be found. So the love of Jesus goes on eternally. Forever and forever, I know God loves me. You know, whenever you think of love, you think of a circle. There's no end to it. You can just go round and round and round. It's like some of our songs we sing, they're hard to come to an end. Elvis. have to bring a song to some of these nice choruses to an end. You don't know where to stop. Because they just keep going on and on. And that's what God's love is like. It goes on and on and on. Love never fails. It never comes to an end. Never fades out. Let me just read that scripture from Philips. I started with it, so I'll end with it. Love is the one thing that still stands when all else has fallen. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Is that a word of prayer? Praise God. Tonight.